Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey guys, what's up? Back with another episode of the Otakuology Podcast, one of the best podcasts in the world. With me, as always, my best friend, heterosexual life partner.
That's right.
Otaku Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
And we're going to talk about It's Delicious. It's Nutritious. Delicious and Dungeon.
It's a little dark and damp.
It is dark and damp.
We might have gotten lost.
Oh, my God. No shit, right?
Exactly.
Especially with this other shit that's going on with us being in the fourth floor and the town moving.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
We're still in the aftermath of the Red Dragon incident.
Yes. We have come back up from, I think, the sixth floor.
Is it the sixth floor?
I think so. Either that or it's like the underground or the fifth floor.
Okay.
But that's where the other orcs are at.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So we've had to go back up, and then we were trying to get out of the dungeon. But there is too many things moving around that we didn't know about.
And Lyos and his party, last where we left them, was they were lost.
Yeah. They were lost. So in this episode we're covering episodes 15 and 16.
Yes.
So for 15 and 16, we are covering where we left off, because we kind of went in, like, was with Cobra's party for a little while.
Yeah.
And now we're back with our party. Yes, our party.
Our buddies.
Yeah. And so now it's where they are trying to get back through the dungeon.
I feel like that you could kind of call this like the aftermath arc, or maybe like the recovery arc. Because that's what I kind of feel like they're doing within this particular like two episodes, is trying to recover and get back on their feet.
See, and I don't even think it's that. I think this is our we're fucked arc.
I guess you could say that too, yeah.
Like, you know, like we thought that with the Red Dragon stuff, and then after like the other stuff that happened, like the last couple of episodes,
mm-hmm.
You know, like now it's like, okay, well, what about the rest of this stuff that's going on?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
But getting into episode 15 right now, it is called The Dryad and Cockatrice.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to split these two into two different parts, you know, so like a quarter and quarter and then whatever, because that's kind of how it did anyway.
Yeah.
This first part I hated. Like,
oh, really?
I liked the comedic aspect of it, but I hated like the shit with the dryads. Like,
oh, you're talking about how like what was it? They were trying to find trying to get through this one part of the dungeon, correct?
Yes,
and they couldn't.
They tried to get past the wall, and they were pretty sure it was the spot that they were supposed to go for,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't. So then they turned around and they ended up running into this little forest that was in here that had dryads in it.
That's what it was, because they were kind of like beat up and stuff still. And since she was like upset that he couldn't like give them like a nutritious meal and stuff.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm going to go kill and cook up the next thing I see. And him, since she... Chilchuk and Lyos left. I don't remember what happened to Marcel or why Marcel wasn't there.
Marcel wasn't with them on that part because she was mana sick.
Okay, she was mana sick. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. She was mana sick. And so we get to this part where they're like going through these bushes and they see these naked, pale white women, or what they think are women.
They're different things.
Yeah, they're what they call dryads.
They're dryads. Two of them appear to be women and one of them appear to be a man.
And they're like making out with each other and rubbing on each other. And Chilchuck and Sinchi see these two, these dryads. And I thought it was funny that Sinchi covers up Chilchuck's eyes. He's like, no, don't look at him.
Yeah, because it was like he thought it was Chilchuck was a kid.
Yeah. And I think Chilchuck's like, he's like, what, like in his like late 20s, maybe 30s, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think Chilchuck's, I think, like 113. Like, he's older than Laos.
Which like, is, like, weird, because, like, I think several times throughout this anime, he's told Sinchi, Chilchuck has to, like, stop, like, to referring to him as a child, or acting like he's a child, because he's not a child.
Yeah.
Which, we'll get to that later on when we end this episode.
Well, that part, I feel like we backed off of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like at one point, mm-hmm. and then now it really resurfaced.
It kind of like gets back up. But I have to say, this part when they get into the fight with the human flower thingies, this part where they basically get pollen, like
they get the hay fever.
Hay fever and stuff and the pollen.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The snot's like running down their face and stuff.
Yes.
I have to say.
Well, and you have where Sinchi was sneezing, just like waterfalls. Just
big goopy like snot bubbles and stuff like that. I have to say, out of all the episodes we've watched so far, because it's that time of year, it's like in the summer, you know, getting close to summer. This is probably the most relatable episode of anime I ever watched, because my sinuses be acting crazy.
See, and I feel like this would have been best a couple weeks ago.
Probably.
I think it would have been. I feel like when it came out, we were like right at the point of like getting kind of done with like the season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are still trying to make us think about this shit, you bastards.
Because, you know, they get all, like, the yellow pollen and stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, my car is covered in yellow pollen at the moment, you know?
Yes.
When I walk out, like, my eyes are watering. I'm snot, you know, taking all this allergy medicine and stuff like that, you know? And just thinking, like, oh, man, I relate to them so hard right now at this moment, having crazy allergies and stuff. But yes. I thought it was really funny. That, you know, they go and they want to, like, eat the flowers and stuff like that. And they find, what do they find? The pumpkin faces?
Yeah, they find those. That's actually, I love those. Those are hilarious.
They're hilarious because they get brought back up later on in the next episode, I think it was.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, they have one with them later on. Like, they bring a pumpkin with them or whatever it's called.
Well, and Marcel's eating out of the one, you know.
Yeah.
Here whenever they cook it up or whatever, and it like they just all three of the faces on it look hilarious.
They're like just like deadpan, like serious,
and one of them looks like he's happy and one of them looks like it's asleep, you know. So I loved it. The only weird thing was on this too, with that, was this that they cooked I thought was really weird.
And what exactly did they cook?
They basically made what I would say our translation would be for pumpkin soup.
Okay, because they didn't eat out of the pumpkin or whatever they were.
Yeah, Marcel ate out of one of them.
Yeah, because like, she wanted to get more mana back.
Yeah, that's, and that was Sinchi. Sinchi told her that's how it was going to happen. And then they had the little plant thingies that he kind of cut into. I want to compare it to a veggie burger.
Okay.
But it looked like like lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he poured cheese over it, which I'm just going to tell you, I had a bad episode with Brussels sprouts one time where they were roasted and everything, kind of like how he did. And I was like,
yeah.
So watching this episode, I was like, I think I'm going to be a little sick. And then putting the cheese on them, I was like, that makes it even worse than cheese. Like,
I have to say, we kind of like brushed over a little bit. Yeah. But when Senshi and Chilchuck are fighting the dryads,
yeah,
that scene was really cool. How, like, you know, they were both obviously like disabled, like they couldn't see, they couldn't smell, they couldn't really hear, and like Senshi had to have Chilchuck be like his like guide.
They
like,
had to Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, Gurren Lagann it because Chilchuck was like on Senshi's head, and he was like, I can't see, I can't hear, what can I do? I can feel with my skin. You know?
Right.
And he like felt the air, and he told Senshi to like what to do and stuff. I thought that was a really fun scene.
Dude, and I thought that was gonna go different because he like gives you an excuse for everything. And yeah. I said, oh my god, if he sticks his tongue out and goes, this is how I know, we'll be like, Delicious and Dungeon has come full circle. Your taste buds are the most important scent you have. But he, like you said, he got to the skin and then it stopped. And I was like, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they found mandrakes.
Was it mandrakes?
Yeah, the little things. Because I like how they made the reference to it. Because they went back and told Marcel, they're like, we don't have a dog to pull them out.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. They didn't have a dog. Like, oh, we found mandrakes. Let's kill them and eat them.
Yeah. So yeah. That was the other thing with their stuff that they had.
And I love, like, after this happens, you know, Marcel shows up. And Marcel's like, you know, I'm too weak to heal you guys. But Leos, we're going to teach you magic and make you a little bit more useful. You know, right. normally you're the fighter. But we're going to give you a little bit of healing magic and whatnot, you know?
We're going to give you a little extra. He multi-classed there.
Yeah, a little bit of multi-class. And I thought it was funny seeing him try to learn how to heal and stuff. And like his. Well,
and then on the flip side where, you know, since she's like, Chilchuck, my boy, I got to talk to you.
I got to talk to you. Yeah, so like at this point, Leos is getting like taught by Marcel. And since she's like, you know, oh, Chilchuck, you and I need to talk, because Chilchuck was like, oh, why did you cover my eyes, Senshi, and stuff like that. And he's like, well, you know, you're telling me about your dad and stuff and whatnot, and, you know,
he wasn't around,
and you know, I feel like you know, you and I should have a talk.
Did you ever get like the Bruce? I got the total Bruce from Finding Nemo moment in this, where it was like, I never knew my father.
No, it just made me think of like the talk I had to have with my own father.
Oh my goodness!
Like that's what popped into my head. Like the talk. It's like, oh, everybody gets talk. It's like, why is Senshi giving Chilchuck the talk?
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, I'm not a kid, you know, but since he keeps on going.
Yeah, he does.
He just keeps on going. He's like, you know, when a man and a woman like love each other and this and that, and Chilchuck's like fucking freaking out.
Well, and like the next thing after this, wherever Chilchuck is talking about like sensitivity training.
Yeah.
Almost. I was thinking, like, okay, we're talking about, like, sensitivity. You can't touch people like that. Sensitivity training. I was like, oh, my God. This is like, what Senshi taught him coming all the way back around. And it was, they were talking about Leos healing Marcel's ear. And she said that she got the itchies, like Chilchuck did whenever she healed him.
Mm-hmm.
And her scab fell off. And then they had to do this scene where she's like, all right, Senshi, Leos is going to heal you. And then he, like, gropes his man boobs. And I was like, oh, my God. No, and, I mean, since she just goes, like, stiff as a rock.
Yeah, because he's, like, laying on a table, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, and Leos, like, cops a filly. He's not really copping a filly. He's just trying to, like, heal him. But, like, that's what it looks like to us.
But it makes it even more awkward because, you know, Senshi is still very like weary of magic, you know, and now he's having like Leos like healing while copping a field, stuff like that, you know?
Yes.
He's like, oh, you know, somebody's not comfortable with their sexuality.
Right. But I mean, I feel like we did get another really good input because, I mean, with the sensitivity things that Chilchuk kind of brought up, he also told us about how magic users are usually the reason why a party splits apart, which is weird. Like, we'd never think that, you know, that's usually a person that like keeps the party together. They're the one that heals. And he said, no, he goes, that can be the problem because they have to heal people.
Yeah.
And so relationships, because of the physical touch, can form out of that. And it's just kind of a weird thing for
like people like are party members like reading into something that's probably not there, you know, stuff like
yes, that. Yes.
You know, so I can totally see that, you know, and having like,
well, and just being taken care, you know, of like,
and I can see like Marcel, like going in a good direction with the fact that she's like, no, we're going to have two healers now, you know, like we used to, you know, and maybe one's like the backup healer, like Leos is, you know, and
right.
And I feel like it's a good, like, growing, like a character building aspect.
Oh, most definitely, especially for Leos.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, like which, we've had that kind of sitting there. Like, I'm kind of glad that they did that because, I mean, who else in the party before had abilities to do that on a on a big scale, you know?
Which is Fallon.
Like Fallon, yeah. So, like, why wouldn't Leos have latent abilities on that stuff? You know?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when it was happening, I was like, there's no way he has fucking magic in him. He hasn't. He hasn't, like shown any magical talents. This is what I was thinking in my head. I was like, what is Marcel wasting her time with this guy?
Right?
But, I mean, lo and behold, he has a little bit of magical talents.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I thought. I was like, I'm glad that they kind of went in this direction, but that's kind of weird. But, you know, then he kind of gets sick and passes out from mana sickness.
Because he doesn't have a lot.
No. Like in the words of Marcel that we actually hear before, because it's a couple episodes back, using magic ability and training in it is basically like working a muscle. And
it's kind of like,
if you've never worked that muscle before, it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying?
You know, go with me here.
Okay.
It's kind of like masturbating for the first time.
Oh my God. Okay.
You know, like the first time you do it, you know, it's a little fast.
Is this going to turn into our conversation from the other day that I told you about? No. You know, after your first time watching something, you can no longer do like your first appearance or whatever, or your first thing about it, because
it's like,
because you've lost that moment of surprise.
It's like, you know, like your first time, you do it. It's quick. It's over with. You can't really do it again for a while, you know, and then like, later on, you build up that muscle to go longer. And, you know, I don't really know where I was going with that.
I don't know where you're going with this anyway.
But gotta be honest, it kind of sounded funny in my head, so I kind of just
splurted it out. So I'm going to do this, but I'm going to redirect it a little bit, okay? You trust me?
Okay.
I'm going to say it's like whenever you do it like that,
uh-huh,
but your arm. Because your arm's not used to that tension. And so whenever you're done, your arm's like, oh my God, like, have I been lifting weights all day? Like, what the fuck? So you have to work that muscle in your arm to be like, I can do this, guys.
Like,
we can do this a lot longer.
Like when Quagmire finds out there's porn on the internet.
Yes.
And he comes back and one arm is just really, really huge.
Yes. Yes. Perfect example of that.
Anyways, back to Delicious in Dungeons.
They leave to investigate We see a building where like the bricks are floating off.
Yes.
And they're gonna go investigate this. Why is it doing that? Is there a reason? And they end up getting out and going.
Mm-hmm.
And they're standing there as they're kind of seeing what it is, which we actually cover in the next episode. So we won't exactly ruin that for you guys.
They don't even get near it at first.
No.
Because they get distracted.
And then they feel something happening as they are rising off of the floor because the ground is changing. And they get to a point where I guess a wall kind of comes down too. And there is a cockatrice there.
And we've seen one of these before, right?
No, we have seen a basilisk.
Okay. Because I was a little confused. Like, I was like, I could have sworn we saw one of these before.
No, the one we saw before was the basilisk. And you can do the same tact on both of these, but this one's bigger. And the bite is a lot worse.
Yeah, it's like a half chicken, half snake.
Yeah. The other one, though, if it gets you, it could take like a few days or whatever. Or you could just have a little bit of something, like a little bit of paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
The basilisk from Harry Potter, I feel like, is the best thing for this, of explaining it. If people don't know the difference between both of these, you're petrified to an extent. It doesn't mean like you have anything else, but then this other one, the cockatrice, is more like a Medusa.
I love if
it makes contact with you with a bite or something, or like its enzymes, it can turn you into stone, full body.
I love their strategy they have going into this.
I love imagining the strategy going.
I mean, that was funny too.
When Marcel goes to the other side of the wall and she's standing there and she's like, okay,
I'm going to do this.
How did Leos do this?
And then we see her like trying to mimic it. And then like the cockatrice does the same thing as she does.
Yes. And then we get the scene from like episode 2 when Leos did it, where he did the squaw, you know?
Yeah. Like, and then she just gets like bit on the head. And we find out that that's actually just a dream, you know?
Yeah, she's like, if I do it this way, this is what's going to happen.
But then she's like, I got to do it my own way. And she like kind of walks out in like a slow motion type of thing, pops out. And she does like this pose. She like goes like, wah! And like does like an explosion.
Yes.
I feel like she was doing like a Sentai pose almost.
I feel like with her doing the explosion thing, we are totally getting into the point of... Do you remember when we were both reading like Konosuba?
I never read Konosuba.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a girl named Megumin
mm-hmm.
that all she trained in was explosive magic.
I feel like all Marcel really does is explosive magic.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I feel that way. But all Megumin can do is one explosion a day.
Isn't it like really big too?
Yes. It is like, in D&D terms, like a 9th level spell. It is this huge spell and that she can do like a nuclear bomb almost.
You know, it reminds me of, I wonder if that's in reference to, so do you ever watch Slayers?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So in Slayers, Lena Inverse, she does like, I forget it's called like Dragon Slayer or Dragon Flame or something. She does like this big like fireball attack.
Yeah.
And it's like basically almost the size of like Goku's spirit bomb. And she would just destroy things with that. And that's like one of the only real magic things attacks that she had.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminds me of when you say that, you know.
See, and when I thought about it, I thought about, and I can't remember which fight it was, I thought about one of the characters that had, Chu. It reminded me of Chu when he did the drunken aura ball.
Mm-hmm.
In Yu Hakusho. You know, because he starts out with that little ball, and then he just keeps like putting energy into it.
Yeah.
And now it's this huge ball, and he throws it. That's what it made me think about was Chu's little his big drunken ball thing that he like he can't control the energy on, so he just throws this huge ball. Like, that's what I kind of thought that it was like.
Yeah,
Marcel ends up getting bit on the arm. She does trick the cockatrice a little bit.
She does. But, she blows it up.
Right.
She blows up part of it.
But as that happens, since she comes out to try and cut off the head of the snake, and it is too shallow. And so now the snake head goes for Marcel and gets her. And then we get this little comedic part that I love where Leos is like, all right, you have to do this. And Marcel believes that it's like the cure. Like, you get this position and it's the cure. And he goes, no, it's the position for you to be the most secure if you're going to get petrified.
And she's like,
yeah, at the moment she freaks out, just whoop, turns straight to stone. Like,
this is the worst position you can ever be in.
Yes. So, you know, and I think the party waits 3 days.
It's actually 4 days.
She comes back on the fourth day?
Yeah, she comes back on the fourth day.
Because I know she has a pot of water or like briny things or like meat or some kind of seed or whatever, some rice. I think it's the rest of the barley we had before.
Yeah. And they cook up the cockatrice meat.
Yeah. And they're trying to ferment or
Because they put her one of the things. They put her in one of the pots to keep her like safe.
Yeah, they put it in between her legs.
And so like they cook the stuff like under her.
Yeah. And then Leos tries to heal, I guess, on and off for like those 3-4 days.
Yeah, because at one point he ends up putting like cucumbers on her.
That was Chilchug. So Chilchug. Yeah, he went and found local herb that supposedly was going to help her out.
Yeah, because supposedly, like, you could just like kind of, it would fix you eventually. Kind of like the curse would wear off or whatever. And he said, you know, like, elves had, like, a high tolerance to magic and stuff. But, like, Marcel's a half-elf.
Yeah.
So I wonder if if it's more potent to her or whatever. I don't know.
Well, and then we got, you know, like, Mr. Bestiary himself with Leos, where he says, you know, for a tall man, it would take, like 15 years to become unpetrified. And I was like, what the fuck? 15 years.
But eventually he learns a new spell. I don't know what spell he learns, but he makes her unpetrified.
They bring it up? They don't know.
They don't know. He just kind of guesses.
They don't know if it's the herb or if it's the spell. They like to do that. And then I love his response. He goes, maybe since I was doing stuff with the cockatrice meat and we put it beside it, maybe it detoxified her by itself.
Maybe it was my good cooking.
And I was like, maybe.
Maybe, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we never know. So
maybe it was a team effort. Maybe it was all three.
Yes. So I think that brings us to the end of episode 15, though.
It does. It does. It kind of ends. They end up eating and it ends.
And I mean, I enjoyed this one, except for that first part. I just don't feel like the dryads were a good fit for all the stuff that happened in that one.
I enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
I felt like it was really interesting to taking Leos off the table, in a sense.
For the cockatrice?
Well, kind of almost for this entire episode, he's kind of off the table.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because he got the... He got the hay fever too.
Yeah.
And then we never saw him.
Yeah.
He pops up at like the end, like, guys, I can't see.
Yeah, I can't see, you know. Like, he's off the table, which is really interesting. So it makes the other three like work even harder type of thing and like try and fill that role and survive and stuff. And like, I have to say, the core four work well together, you know.
Right,
the core four work really well together. Like they're coming together, even though they have like their little differences. Kind of, you know. I thought this episode was like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Way better than the last episode. the Cobra episode, you know. We don't need him anymore. But it leads.
We'll come back to that because you know my disdain for him from the last
episode. It leads directly into the next episode where we find out, you know, Chilchuk has been doing. He's like investigating and learning more part about this dungeon.
Yes,
if I remember correctly. Which yes. I'm guessing he did that off screen.
He's been watching the puzzle that is the dungeon.
Yeah.
Because I think he says, like, the statues don't move, cemeteries don't pop up where houses are. They all move in, like, a right motion, so, like, they'll move over to the next spot.
Mm-hmm.
If a wall comes up somewhere, then another wall has to go away somewhere else. Like, you know, like we get a bunch of this other stuff and it's really good.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's interesting to see like how much he's actually learned.
Yes.
And they end up finding this wall, which I'm guessing it was part of the wall that they saw earlier. I'm not 100% sure. Because it's around the area where they fought the dragon. They finally, like, kind of get...
It's the house that they stayed in.
Is it? Okay. Because yeah. they finally get their, like, bearings straight and they're...
Because if you hear Marcel and Leos's kind of back conversation,
mm-hmm.
they say, that's where we ate the dragon meat.
Yeah.
So you do get that, and then you get where Chilchuk is trying to spare them from... I think he really thinks that Leos and Marcel are like really happy-go-lucky Fallon lovers and they don't have like a good head on their shoulders for Maybe. That. Like they'll just rush into it because of her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well we kind of rushed into it to get down here, but now that they know like the stuff with the Mad Mage, I'm pretty sure they're like, okay, we have to have a better head.
Yeah. We have to have a better head on our shoulders. I can see that kind of. You know,
because he was like, oh, I got to make sure they don't see the dragon blood. I got to make sure.
And the dragon blood's like not even there anymore. It's like completely gone.
No, we just get like the big hole that's there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not really that important, but we did miss a little part at the beginning in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about where they're the little red dragons that we saw that came out of the dragon's blood. Are like the sentries of the Mad Mage that are actually looking for them.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of them shows up.
Yeah, and we see one fly overhead in the beginning of episode 15. We also see one here after the opening stuff in episode 16,
mm-hmm.
Which we had seen the stuff of where the building was moving, and nobody knows, but Marcel has this really good intuition that it's these things called the cleaners.
Oh, yeah, you meet the cleaners.
And so she grabs a hold of everybody and basically shoves them into the wall.
This part was funny.
Oh, I love this part. And so after the little blood dragon thing flies overhead, then they pop back out of the wall. Everybody's got goo on them.
Yeah.
And we find out more about the cleaners through Leos.
We also find out that Leos is seeing things. Or he's starting to see things.
He's getting the latent, like we said, I think when he did activated his powers, he's getting the latent abilities like we have already seen with Fallon whenever they were kids.
Yeah, because he starts to see like this decayed guy like inside of a wall.
Yeah, and they're talking about ghost magic.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And he's but like, nobody else can see this, and he kind of freaks out.
See, and I don't... That's one of the questions that I have is, could nobody else see it, or was it just in that split second that he saw it, and then it backed away?
Maybe, who knows? I wasn't really sure, because nobody else mentioned it, you know?
Yeah. And he says that he is, like, doing that, But I mean, that's the other thing that made me really question that is because, you know, Leos kind of like thinks that a lot.
He also like still thinks he might be mana sick.
That's true too, yeah.
So he thinks it might be the mana sickness.
But do you catch what the ghost says?
He says something about the mad mage, right?
Yeah, he says the eye of the mad mage is coming.
Yeah.
So he was letting them know that the dragon... So we know... this is another thing added on to the last episode where, you know, Chilchuck had to go pick up their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
When he had to go with the orc sister.
Yeah.
The
weird orc sister who's...
Yeah.
Who's likes her brother a little too much.
Right. So, I mean, Chilchuck's been to this area like 3-4 times now.
Yeah.
But whenever she tells him about the stuff, like when you see a ghost, like, you know, they're bound to show you like the right path because they don't travel hectic roads.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. That kind of, I think with this one, that kind of puts a little more perspective is that the Mad Mage is the hectic roads because... on some of this stuff, because of wanting to control all the creatures and have the place ready for the king and all this, and like almost trying to tell the ghost, hey, I'm going to control you in this instance and we need to be prepared for this. But on that part, the ghost is who actually came out to help Leos.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get kind of, do the ghost really like the Mad Mage or anything? Because I think going into it, it felt like they were a team or supposed to be a team. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to throw this out there. It's kind of like a theory I have.
Okay.
I'm curious if the ghosts are all the like previous people like who were part of like the previous kingdom who were like in the paintings and stuff like that. Is what I'm...
I can't fully say if they're people from the paintings that we saw,
not from the paintings, but you know, like they were like in that time period, like, and they're kind of still stuck here.
Yeah. No, I mean, we do know that the ghosts that we're seeing now were people from the original town.
Yeah,
so we do know that for sure. Because I think the orc sister brings it up.
I think so, right?
Somebody brought it up. Yeah, so I mean, you're not wrong in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get in the wall, we get out of the wall after the thing happens, and then we see the cleaners, which, what did you think on this part when Leos had the little cleaner thing running around on his finger?
It looked like cum.
It did. But, you know, when it was moving around, it looked like
semen.
I totally thought he was going to do the thing where he was going to put it in his mouth and try it, and he never did. I was like, missed opportunity, guys.
But
you missed the opportunity.
We get this other really, really funny scene where, like, Senshi goes and like he takes the stuff that they have, you know, all the different stuff they had from the previous episode and whatnot, and he goes to make a meal, and he uses, like, the bricks. Like, they're not fully hardened as, like, bowls.
Right.
And he goes and Leos goes to eat it. He's like, oh, yeah, this is good. You know, oh, it's really good. And Sinchi's like, hey, you can eat that bowl. It's edible. And Leos is like, what? Really? And he goes to eat it. And he's like, all I taste is dirt. This is not good.
Worst thing ever.
Worst thing ever. And he continues to eat it.
He continues the food.
Does he? Yeah. But it's so funny. which leads into like another joke later on. So they're eating, they're recovering, you know, trying to stay out of, you know, from away from the Mad Mage and the monsters, and they get ambushed by some familiar faces, kind of. One's a big giant spider thingy, you know, which was creepy as fuck.
It was a Jirogumo.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I don't remember any of their names. But we end up meeting, again, Shiro's party, because Shiro shows up. And they Laos and his crew get ambushed by Shiro's potential harem. I'm not 100% sure.
No, but rewatching this, I did get a joke where one of the people did say, I think Chilcheck made the joke about if they were his harem.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them really, really likes him because they want to wait on hand and foot, you know?
See, and that's so weird to me because whenever we do the past thing where we were looking at stuff.
Yeah.
When he was a little boy, she's the same age, shape, yeah. Whatever. Like, she looks exactly the same.
Well, didn't she have, like, wings? So is she, like, a demi-human kind of, or?
Maybe. I think she's probably closer to, like, some kind of a Eastern harpy.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that, though.
Well, these are, like, Shiro's, like, they're not concubines, but they're, like, servants, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they're the family servants.
Yeah, they look after the family, and one of them looks, in particular, looks after Shiro. We meet Shiro again, and we meet the crew that Cabra is with as well, because Cabra shows up, and they're like, oh, man, you know, this is Laos. His people stole our stuff. They stole our jewelry, and like, we got to confront him. And Cabra's like, no, let's not confront him at this moment. Let's just see how this plays out. And they kind of meet and stuff. And Laos is really happy to see Shiro.
Yeah.
He is really happy. And Shiro definitely is like a worse for wear. He's in a bad spot, like probably physically, mentally, you know.
Most for sure physically, because you know what's happened so far. How long has it taken our party to get down here?
Couple weeks,
and they did it in like the course of a week, like no stops.
Yeah,
so he has made up the time. Well, and it may have been longer than that because he had to sail back to his island to get all the people to come here, and then sail back again.
You're right. I forgot about that.
So I mean, like. You know, and then it's just been nonstop. So they could have been doing this for like 3 days, like nonstop.
And he hasn't like eaten anything. He just keeps pushing forward, you know, like we saw in the last episode.
Or
the
previous episode. I will say, I don't know. I feel like the voice actor listened to our show from last time because Shiro's voice wasn't so fucking deep this time. Okay,
I think it was because he probably had more to play with other than just two lines.
Well, and it probably wasn't the first time. He probably got to actually get a grasp on how he wanted to play.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Because the last time was so deep.
I love when Shiro and Laos meet up again, and he's like, oh, here's Marcel, here's Chilchuck, you know. This is our new guy, Senshi. He's really cool, you know? And yes. And then he's like, yeah, we've been, like, you know, going through the dungeon, you know, trying to find Fallon.
We four got down here.
Yeah.
And then they go, we beat the Red Dragon.
We beat the Red Dragon. And I love the scene where, like, he's telling him all this stuff. And then Shiro's like, Laos, did I see you eating a block of, like, a brick?
Right, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we were... Well, you know, we had to give up all of our money and our food and stuff, and we've been just living off of monsters down here. And, like, seeing, like, Shiro's face, he's like, what, really? Like, you're eating monsters? Like,
yeah.
What?
Like, so, I'm going to pause you on that for a second, and we can come back to it, because I have some gripes that are based out of that area.
Okay.
Here in a second, but... we also have where the other party came. Cobra got to meet Laos, and we have where Rin brings up and actually talks to him about, you know, are we not going to get him, Cobra?
Yeah,
you know,
the stuff. Yeah, the treasure.
You know, they stole our stuff. And he says, he goes, no, he goes, he doesn't have any, like, ill will or ill intent upon seeing them on his face. So he goes, I don't think it was them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing I feel a little weird about, is because they know that these other people were shady because Cobber killed them off, threw them in the water.
Yeah, yeah. And why didn't he pick up on that? Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, why didn't he think like that? Those could have been the people that did it, you know?
It's funny, like, Laos doesn't recognize Cobber at all, and he's seen him twice so far.
One, two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking there was a third time in there.
Yeah, no, he's seen him twice. Like I know
he saved him twice.
He saved him twice. Yeah, but he doesn't like register the fact that he's like seen this guy twice.
Yeah,
which is funny to see, and how Cobra takes it, like that. They've been eating monsters. He's like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. But in reality, he's like, oh, these guys are weird.
So Laos breaks off and takes basically Cobra and Shuro to go talk while they're going to prepare a meal. Mizuru is the main one. I can't remember the other one. I remember the big girl because you like her.
I do like my big girls.
The big one is Tabi. But
she's an Oni, right? She's an Oni.
Yeah, or an ogre, I think.
An ogre or something, right?
But I can't remember the other three. I can't remember their names.
I don't remember what their names are at all.
Because I know one of them's really short, and then one of them is really long. Like, it's a mouthful to say.
And then, and isn't one of them like a cat?
Yeah, the one that's going to join our party later is going to be the cat one.
Yeah.
And then
we have a big important scene.
They're gonna split up the party because they go, we don't want to be seen together because of that. And then Mizuru goes, hey guys, can you put up like a protective barrier between the three of you smart magic users?
Yeah. She kind of takes over and she starts talking about how, you know, she's Shiro's like guardian or protector, you know, she looks after him. And like starts giving us like the Shiro backstory, and how he's like from like a rich family and stuff like that. He begged them when he came back to help come back, you know.
So this is where I want to jump in now on, and you've kind of already touched on it a couple times.
Yeah.
But where he's like, Shiro asks how they got down here so fast. He goes, oh, because we've been eating monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
And Cobra, like, has the whole thing where he's like, oh, do tell. You know, what was the weirdest thing you've eaten? And he really, like, plays on Laos's, like fun-loving side of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turns around and he goes, yeah, we can talk about it anytime. And he turns around and he goes, yeah, like, that's disgusting or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I was sitting there, I was like, Cobra, this is like another fucking reason. Like, nobody fucking likes you.
Okay? Nobody likes you, Cobra. Nobody get fucking out of likes here.
You. Like, and get I out really, here, I really want to see, because I feel like if Cobra got put in an instant in a weird position, I feel like Cobra would stab everybody in these parties back.
I don't know, maybe
because of the character he is.
Like, he's not like a bad guy, but I feel like if like. Maybe he didn't agree with something?
See, and I'll agree with you, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I feel like he's like Zangief from Wreck-It Ralph.
Maybe if, like,
I'm not a bad guy, I'm just a bad guy.
Maybe if, like, his morals don't align with, like, whatever they decide to do, I could see him turning on them pretty fast.
Yeah. Because I feel like he's not, in D&D terms, I feel like he's not, like, chaotic neutral, or I don't think he's chaotic at all. He's very orderly, but I feel like he's on that side, like, his order is what's gonna cause something to happen.
I feel like he shouldn't be in the show.
I'd agree with that. I mean, and that's the weird part, like, he's fine in the manga, I feel like.
Yeah.
In the show, like, I can't stand this motherfucker. Like, I hate this character. Hate all of his little mannerisms. I hate where he acts like he's going to be people personally, and he's going to be, oh, yeah, you know, da-da. And then he fucking turns around, and you get, like, that two-faced side to him where he's like, I really don't fucking care.
Maybe it's like just a weird like way they translated it from the manga to the anime.
I don't.
Maybe you just read it differently in the manga.
That could be, or you know, they translate it from the manga weird,
or you know,
yeah, maybe because in the manga he seems almost exactly like a Laos, like
yeah,
like they almost seem like twin flames in that sense, like they look different but they're basically the same character.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the anime it's like they started out feeling that way but they're totally different upon like all the little things here and there.
No, I agree.
Totally different.
I agree with that. They're totally different. Yeah. I felt like Cabra was almost like a diet Laos.
See, and I can't even say that now after having this episode.
Yeah.
I feel like Cabra, and this is why I say at some point he could stab everybody in the back. I feel like to a T, everything is the opposite of Laos. Cabra has dark skin. Cabra has dark hair. Laos has blonde. He's got lighter skin, brown eyes. Cabra has blue eyes.
They both are like fighters.
They're both kind of like the fighter types, you know. I mean, you know, Laos is more like a heavy fighter because he wears more armor.
They're both kind of like the leads of their parties.
But like even in the flashback that he talks about them, like whenever somebody was going to manipulate them, like Laos leaned into it because he wants to think about the goodness of people and helping people and everything. And Cabra in the behind the scenes, like, and like I said, we haven't seen it with his party yet, but Cabra is always almost kind of like, how can I stab you in the back? And like the humility in both of them, Cabra's like, I deserve to be the master of the dungeon. And Laos is just like, you know, like if that's the option and I have to do it, like I'll take it. But like, I don't really. I just want to enjoy eating monsters. You know, like
I just want to eat monsters and get my sister back.
So on both sides of the spectrum of this, like they're complete opposites when you really look at it. And I feel like Cabra, in a sense, has almost been like a red herring for us from the beginning.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So
but we get to like the big part of this episode, I feel like.
Well, we hop back to them making the lunch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Which I want to point this out real quick on that. You know how we get the little thing where they show the food and they put the little stickers on it, like, and this like, is what it is. Yes.
I don't know
if in this episode how fucking cheated I felt in the second half, because all of it's normal fucking food. I was like, oh, rice balls and some soup and some other stuff. Like, I feel like
it was
Sinchi, where the fuck is some, you know, this? Like, you could have thrown that in there and it never does.
And it's like,
yes, yes, like a dud.
I feel like Sinchi was so upset.
Like, I don't know, because he was excited about it the whole time. Like, I don't know.
Deep down, I feel like he was disappointed in their meal choice.
Probably.
Deep down, I feel like that's what, you know. They've been eating good. Now they're eating, like, Golden Corral.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that, yeah. Like it looks like it could be like the best and it's not.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah. So we get to the penultimate scene in this where,
okay, I want to play this up real quick.
Okay,
so we get Mizuru and Sinchi, and Sinchi has like a cup of green tea he's running, and they look so happy. They're running together like, oh, let's go take this food to Shiro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has the tray of like the grilled fish, miso soup, the your rice typical balls.
Japanese meal, if you like.
Yeah, like lunch. And they're all running. And then what happens?
So what happens is Cabra and the cat ninja girl, they both end up leaving the room because Laos has to talk to Shiro. And they're like, oh, why are you out here? You know?
Itsumi is the cat.
Okay, Itsumi. They're like, why are you... she's like, why are you out here? You know, what's going on? Where's Shiro? Where's my Lord Shiro? And we find out that Leos basically is like, yeah, we found Fallon. Fallon was dead. She was dead. And Shiro was like, oh my god, you know, that's so, like, he's like distraught, you know? And
yeah,
he's like, yeah, but you know, we used the dragon to bring her back. We used forbidden magic. And Shiro fucking loses it. And he's like, how could you? You know what they do to people who use the dark forbidden magic, you know? But it was like, we had no choice. You know, we had to do this. You know, we had to bring Fallon back. We didn't even know if we were bringing Fallon back technically, but you know, we did it. And you know, we thought everything was normal, and it turns out it wasn't. And now we got the Mad Mage on us, and Fallon is gone. We don't know where Fallon is. Fallon has disappeared.
Yes.
And Shiro is like ready. He's standing over Leos. And he's like, I'm going to like fucking kill you, is what it seems like.
Yes.
Like,
and he's choking him out. I really think.
Oh, yeah, he was choking him out. Yeah, yes.
I really think if he had his strength, there would have been way more damage to Leos.
I think he would have nearly killed him.
Probably.
Like, he would be like an inch of his life, like beaten almost to death.
Yes. Yes. And then he tells them, they walk in. Itsumi tells Mizuru what was said because she can hear really well.
Obviously, because she's a cat.
Yeah. Which we're going to come back full circle on this one. Mm-hmm. Somebody else hears it, so that's where we'll come back full circle on that.
Oh, yeah.
Leos does tell him, you know, that it was the black magic. It gets told those people know. Yeah. And Shiro pulls out his sword and, you know, he says basically like she can be locked away. All this stuff can happen because you idiots did that. And he goes, Leos tells him that we had no way of getting her back to the surface intact. We had no way of knowing if she was going to, that was the best option we had at that time. Yeah. And whatnot. So like, you know, kind of like, hey, you know, Shiro, like, I know you're mad, but you're going to have to back off of this a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to have to get off your fucking high horse soapbox, white knight. Because he loves Fallon.
Yes. And I'm wondering, because are we getting set up for that, where Chilchuck told us about healers and how, because it did kind of get mentioned at that.
Yeah.
Is that why Shiro likes Fallon?
Yeah, maybe she showed a little bit more interest in him. Or like try to heal him more because he was like they're heavy,
or did he just read into it more?
True,
you know, like because him, Leos, and Namari at the time were their three fighters, you know, and we know that from the dragon fight. So did he read into it more? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see like other people and Fallon talking to him and them thinking, oh, Fallon loves me. And it'd be like, no, Fallon's just nice.
Yeah, Fallon's just nice. She likes everybody.
Because she's gullible like Leos.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost mirror images of each other in that sense. Mm-hmm. Of course, then, like I said, circling back around, we get fucking asshole Cabra. That's interesting.
Yeah.
About the black magic stuff and all that. And upon watching this one again, talking about how he would look for ways to stab somebody in the back, I feel like that would be him with the party.
I could possibly see that.
I could see him going, oh yeah, you know, she was reincarnated with black magic. You know,
yeah, and they use dragon meat. He basically used an entire dragon,
yes,
to bring her back, you know.
Yes.
But we do get the interesting stinger that Fallon is still in the town.
Yes.
She's up in like this like bell tower, I think it was.
Yes. And there is something else that is attached to her.
It's like,
which gave me Nina Tucker vibes.
Oh my God. Yes. Because she like, so she, it's like half of her body. And then it's like this weird chimera thing going on. She's got going on. I think she even had like, maybe like dragon arms, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I think she's like a big chicken.
So, yeah. And she's looking for somebody in particular. She's looking for the king, or yes, the person who was king because they died.
Yes.
And that's where that ends.
Yes. And if we go back to one of the Red Dragon episodes, it's brought up that the Mad Mage is looking for the king.
Yeah.
And basically, we don't know if Fallon is actually Fallon, if she basically has her mind wiped, if she's really in there, if she's not, and if this being is just basically what the Red Dragon was supposed to be looking for the king.
Yeah. We don't. It could be the Red Dragon in Fallon's body.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which this is one of the things we talked about last time. So
I'm gonna say, I kind of hope it's like a symbiote type of thing where maybe we have two personalities within one body.
I don't remember that because I'm pretty sure right after this is kind of where I ended in the manga.
Okay. Okay.
So I think we're coming up maybe the next episode or the episode after that.
Mm-hmm.
It is what I remember. So either the next time we record or the time after that will be what I'm pretty sure I'm up to in the manga.
Okay.
So now I do have a little nice tidbit for everybody.
Okay.
I didn't know on the Delicious in Dungeon Wikia, which we usually, I pull it up for us to know the characters' names. Yeah. I did know that they also had a tracker with all the stuff on it. So our next episode is actually called Harpy and Chimera.
That's episode 17. The next one coming out this week.
Yeah, coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode, man, it was good. I liked it. I thought it was kind of a little generic towards the beginning when they like, when we get like all the parties and, you know, all this and that, you know, and, oh, we might have a misunderstanding, you know, or disagreement, stuff like that. Where it really, really got me, cause I was like, fuck Cabra, you know, fuck his party. He can get out of here. These new Shiro characters are kind of interesting a little bit. I would like to see more of them.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna look that up real quick.
But
so Tabi is the ogre. Of course we know who Shiro is. Nizuru is the wing lady, the one that made the food with Senshi.
Yeah.
We have Itsumi, which is our cat person that will join the party at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two that she told to prepare the rice together, and I don't know which one is which, is Heen and Benichididori.
Okay.
That's the one with the really long name. I'm like, oh, man.
But I have to say, like, it's really getting me interesting to see, like, you know, what's going to happen next. Because we do get, like, that carrot dangled in front of us, I feel like.
Yes.
With, like, you know, the wrinkle of Shiro showing up. What's he going to do, you know? Now you're saying what Cabra might do, you know? And, like, really, like, is Fallon still Fallon is a big question that we have unanswered.
Right. Well, And I mean, we got all these new questions from this episode, right?
Yeah.
But what about our old questions we still have? When are the fucking elves coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, at some point, Namari has to come back.
Why are we looking for the king, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have so many questions.
I have to say, sorry to interrupt you. I have to say, I think if I don't, maybe like one or two more people show up and join the party. But I have to say, we got to dwindle down this party because this party right now is kind of big. I feel like.
No, and I think it's going to break up here in a second because I'm pretty sure the only person we actually get new to the party is going to be Itsumi. And I don't, everybody else either goes back or splits up or does something. I can't remember. But we're going to go back down to R4 and have a fifth member in Itsumi.
Core 4.
Now we'll have like a core 5.
Core 5.
So.
Yeah. What did you think of this episode?
I like this one a lot. I mean, I liked all the little things. We did find out, like, the cleaners, and I think that those will be a relevant thing for this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how stuff's going to happen with that. You know, of course, like, if something happens and all the cleaners die, like they said, like, the whole town can fall apart.
Yeah.
Or the whole dungeon, you know, so... who knows, you know. Yeah, I mean, we just got a lot more players, like you said. Like, I feel like we're oversaturated in people right now.
I mean, I feel like we're oversaturated, but I feel like they could put in, like, kinks in the story, you know, make things a little bit interesting, kind of. Yeah. You know, because we're still, like, in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't left the dungeon, you know, and like what's the end game to this? You know, what's going to happen? You know, what's our, obviously our driving force is Fallon at this moment, yes. But you know, but what's like the end goal that we're going to work towards?
Yes.
Because obviously something's bigger than what our party thinks it is at this moment.
Right. Well, and what's going to happen to make us stop again? Because, you know, like, the past, the end of episode, we're on 18?
16?
17? 16. We're on 16 and 15.
Yeah.
So the end of 14, our party has been trying to get to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
We've basically almost been down here another week.
True, true.
Because we know this because of that, and we know that they had to sit there at least 4 days with Fallon.
Yeah.
So they've basically been down here another week and they're still trying to get to the surface. And now this is another thing I feel like that has gotten put in place for us is Cobra's party and Shiro's party have both come here and have now imposed another reason of why we're not supposed to go to the surface.
Yes.
So are they going to resupply us? Are they going to do something else? Are we going to say, hey, you know, we're good on monsters for right now because we got these dried supplies or something or whatever. Yeah. You know, what's going to come out of it? Because obviously we're not going back to the surface yet.
No.
So, you know, that's something else. And as far as we know, like nobody that I know of has ever been in the dungeon quite as long as this.
I mean, they've kind of been in the dungeon for like what, almost a month?
I think they've been in the dungeon for a month.
Or maybe a little bit over a month.
Yeah.
Because normally everybody has to go back and resupply, like you said.
Right. Well, and if we think about it, Copper's party's been back once.
Twice.
No, they were going to, remember?
Oh, they were, yeah.
They decided not to, and then they found Shiro's party. That's why
then they died.
Yeah, then they died.
Then they died.
but they did go back and resupply after the ghost thing got them. Or the treasure money stuff. The treasure bugs. Right?
I think they just got revived. I don't actually think they like went back up to the surface.
I think they went back up to resupply.
Okay.
But they weren't that far down anyway.
No. They were like, what, on like the second floor or something?
Yes.
And it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to keep track of like what floor they're on.
That's true too.
Unless they tell us, I have no idea what floor they're on.
Well, I think they call them floors, but they're areas.
Yeah, because they're big floors. They're huge.
Yeah, because like floor one, I think is just dirt. Floor two is like the stairwell that kind of spirals down.
Yeah.
Floor three is the water place. Floor four is the town. And floor five, we're not sure if it even is a floor five.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, man. I mean, there's just, there's a lot.
There's a lot. And I feel like we're going to need questions answered.
Questions answered. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Looking forward to more. I mean, I say that I enjoyed the other like 15 we watched, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it keeps bringing me back.
Yeah.
To where like, yeah, like, I'll watch more. I'll watch more, you know, like, oh, I'm more invested in it kind of thing, you know, like I'm interested to see like what comes next, you know, what kind of little character development nuggets we'll get, you know?
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah. It was seeing, I feel like it's a roller coaster in that sense, because you might get like a spot that's kind of like a, you level out and you're like, oh, you know, maybe I could get off at this point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then it like, we go over another hump and you're like, oh, I think I'll stick around for a little while longer. So, what would you rate?
What would I rate it?
Yeah. Out of five.
I don't know, because I really liked that ending for the last episode.
Yeah.
Like, it got pretty intense.
Yeah.
So go with me on this.
You fucking bastard. I know what you're going to say. You want me to guess?
What?
4.5.
I give it 4.5 out of 5.
Dude, yeah, you were going to say that shit. love it. Love it. Funny joke. I'm going to go with a 4.
That's I feel like it's valid. I feel like four is a valid number, you know.
I'm going to go with a 4 just because I feel like there's something in there, or I would have said a 4.5, and then I'm going to dock it the other 0.5 to make it a 4 just because all the shit, like seeing Cobra's face that much.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, you know. It was good. It built up a little bit more to the story, you know. It wasn't like essential, like, but like some of the stuff like wasn't essential to the story. I feel like it was more like, I don't want to call it filler, but it was like a nice like rebuilding, resituating, in getting the band back together type of thing.
Yes.
I feel like in a sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next two episodes we got going on, you know?
Yes. I agree.
So yeah.
I'm ready for this party to split up.
I'm ready.
I need less people to focus on.
I'm ready for like season one to like end.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like we've been covering this for quite a while.
Like, I'm not lying.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It's just I feel like eventually we have to come to a good stopping point so we can kind of recharge mentally and like then like move on to something else and then come back to Delicious in Dungeons.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I fully get that because I kind of feel the same way. And I feel the same way in that we watch one episode, so we'll watch the new one tomorrow or over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now I've been getting myself confused because then when we get into next week, I'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going to record the episode. I'm like, no, we're not. We're going to watch the next one, and then we're going to record a new episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, between that and, like, everything, like, waiting for this to come out weekly, I feel like is stressful.
It kind of feels like the old days when we used to have to wait weekly.
Yes. But
which I gotta say, like, I don't know if it helps or hinders my viewing experience.
Yeah.
But maybe it makes me just enjoy it just a little bit more because I do have to wait. Because, like, yeah. I don't know if binging is always the way to go, but I mean, I've enjoyed most of this.
Yeah. No, I think for me, it's like when we do Pokemon episodes, like, if we end off and it's kind of everything's wrapped up in a bow, like,
yeah,
we have these three chapters and they made sense together, and, you know, like, they could almost be like a small arc together. I feel like it's good, but sometimes when we get different things and we have to cover it for the show, mm-hmm. I feel like it's kind of choppy because it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen next? Like, I want to know. And you guys aren't going to give it to me until, like, next week, you know, like, so I feel like if we got everything kind of in those bite-sized chunks or mouthfuls, that it would seem better in that instant versus waiting and like some of our mm-hmm. episodes having to, like, cross back over into the old ones, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but I mean, I'm looking forward to, like, checking out the rest of it. Because I heard it was two cores. Whatever two cores means, I have no idea. So
I have no idea.
I don't know if that's two seasons. If that's, like, 25 and, like, 25, is it going to make 50? You know, I have no idea. Because I saw that the other day, like, they were like, oh, it's going to be two cores. And I'm like, what's two cores? Like, I remember hearing that before, but I was like, I'm just out of touch with, like, the seasons of anime seasons and whatnot. I don't remember the terminology off the top of my head.
Well, and I feel like two cores are what you would think should be two seasons, and it's not.
Maybe it's two seasons of, like,
the year. Whenever they're like, we're going to be lazy, and we're going to say this is all one season, but it's technically separate seasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's one season, I feel like your opener, your ender, or what tell you that.
I could have felt like we could have ended it when, like, Fallon, like, left. Like, was taken away.
Oh, we could have ended it before that. Like, give us the cliffhanger of, like, thinking, like, oh my god.
Fallon's dead.
They saved Fallon. Like, we save Fallon, and everybody goes, oh, they're going to make it back to the surface. You know, no problems, stuff like that. And then, you know, wait a little while, and then hit us with it, like, oh no, Fallon got taken. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I fully agree with you. We have been keeping up such a pace with it that I felt like when Fallon got taken, we're like, oh yeah, you know, we got here, we tried to save her, you know, shit happened. Okay, let's, you know, all right, guys, get back on the boat. We gotta go back over here.
We gotta go.
Try and stay Fallon again. Okay, you know. We didn't really have, like, that mourning period, I would say.
Yeah, we didn't have that time to process, I feel like. Yeah.
Or the celebration period.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, we got her. We got her.
Like
back.
I said, if we did that, I felt like we would have ended on a strong note at the end of what would be a season one. We're like, oh my god, we got Fallon. Yeah. Well,
I
can't wait for season two to come out. We're gonna adventure, we're gonna get back to the surface, and then just hit us with the Fallon got taken, Nina Tuckered and everything, and then now she's the villain. What?
I feel like they could have ended it where, like, Leos had, like, the dead body in his hands with the first season.
Oh, when he had the skeleton?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I feel like we could have cut it off there. Had a nice, like, what, like 13 episodes or whatever?
I don't know. No, I think 13 was right after she came back.
Was it? Okay, I don't remember. Anyways, guys. Yes,
13 would have been the last one with the red dragon in it.
If you're listening to this, go tell your friends, go tell your family. One, go check out Delicious and Dungeons if they haven't checked it out. Listen to the podcast, share, tell your friends. That's the best way to help rate and review the podcast. You can leave feedback on our Spotify, and you can leave it on our Apple Podcast. Go check out our Instagram at Otakuology Podcast. We're always there to chit chat and post funny, weird anime stuff on there. You know, go check it out, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. So, yeah.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.